Okay. Well, we'll be in chapter 2 this morning of the Revelation. I will read it, and they'll come back and dissect it. Verse 1 starts out saying, Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus, write these things, saying, He that holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of the seven candlesticks, I know thy works and thy labor and thy patience, and how you canst not bear them that are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do thy first works, or else I will come to you quickly, and will remove your candlestick out of his place, and except thou repent. Excuse me. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which also I hate. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. And to the angel of the church of Smyrna write, These things saith the first and the last, which was dead and is alive. I know your works and tribulation and poverty, but you are rich, and I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews, but are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan. Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. He that overcomes shall not be hurt of the second death. And to the angel of the church of Pergamos write, These things saith he which has the sharp sword with two edges. I know thy works, and where thou dwellest, even where Satan's seat is, and thou holdest fast my name, and hast not denied my faith, even in those days wherein Antipas was my faithful martyr, who was slain among you where Satan dwells. But I have a few things against you, because you have there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast stumbling blocks before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. Repent, or else I will come unto you quickly, and will fight against you them with the sword of my mouth. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give them a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knows, saving he that receives it. And unto the angel of the church of Thyatira, these things saith the Son of God, who has his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass. I know your works, and your charity, and the service and faith, thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against you, because thou sufferest the woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication, to eat things sacrificed to idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into bed with them that commit adultery, with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searches the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which you have already hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keeps my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. now we go back and break it down. I came to an understanding in this, which I didn't have years ago, obviously, that these seven churches are not seven organizations or seven buildings, because this is an internal book, correct? If it's an internal book, then these churches have to be something internal also.
Yeah.
And I see it as seven different levels of our maturity growing in God. As we continue to grow, we're progressing in these different levels of the church in here, not in that out there in buildings or anything else. It's about you as an individual growing up. You remember in Deuteronomy 7, there were sevenites in the land?
Yeah.
And I didn't go down and break all this down, but I really believe that those sevenites in the land are these seven churches in the natural form. The seven things that we must overcome. And every time he says, he that overcomes, I'll give you this. If you overcome, you'll get this. If you overcome, you'll get this. And as we break down those sevenites that's in the land that God put there, guess what? We're stepping up to another realm.
So is this like a purification process? It's a purification.
And that's what the whole thing is. It's about divine purification and correction.
So then the fruit of the Spirit is coming out, being replaced. Because two things can occupy the same space at the same time. So more of God's being put in us.
And pushing something else out.
The old nature of them ites
is going out of the land.
Pushed out and not having their effect on us.
Absolutely. That's the parallel.
They're not controlling us. We're controlling them.
Absolutely.
Christ is
controlling. We the Christ, have the ability to control the others. Okay.
Cool. That's good.
Okay. So this is an internal work. I mean, we can't say part of the book is internal and part of it's external, because God lives internally in us, in all of us. Okay. But unto the messenger, the word angel, of course, is messenger, of the church of Ephesus. Okay. Ephesus means what?
Permitted.
Okay. So this is a church of the ones that are permitted. This is your starting point. Notice that the starting point is what? Being permitted. Did he say you make a choice?
No.
The book says you did not choose me, I chose you.
God's permits.
Absolutely. It's God's permission all the way. But the church is taught that you got to make a decision, you know, and it's not right. Of course we know that, but that's just something we have to go through to understand. He says, write these things, saith he that holds, or the one that holds, okay? The one that holds. What does the word hold really mean? If I'm holding this phone in my hand, what does it do? What's it saying to me?
You give us
control.
Lisa about got it.
Control.
Authority. I have the authority over this, or the control, right? Think. And that's what he's talking about. He said, the one who holds or has the authority or the control of the seven stars in his right hand. What are the stars?
Overcomers.
It's the overcomers. If you go back to Genesis, the stars were relating to the sons of Abraham. Mm-hmm. Okay?
If we're talking about within, though, that seven is the...
Or sons of Jacob, brother.
That's not an external seven.
It's internal. It's an internal seven. And seven is not a literal number. Mm-hmm. It's still a symbolic number.
Yeah, the fullness of it.
Yep.
Of the power.
But he holds them where?
In his right hand.
Right hand speaks of full power and authority.
Mm-hmm.
So he has total control of everything. The one that walks or lives in the, not walks, but lives in the midst or in the middle of the seven golden candlesticks. Remember what we said a golden candlestick was?
Lampstand.
It's you. But it holds the light. And that's what we're doing. We're holding. Didn't Jesus say, I am the light? Okay.
That goes.
That's the Christ.
The one where it says, you're out of the world, but you're not.
Not in the world. Mm-hmm. But see, we are... Mm-hmm. An earthly vessel with the light within us. That makes us the candlestick or the lampstand. We have that within us. If we don't believe that we have this light of God within us, will we ever show that light to anybody? See? If I think I'm a dirty, rotten dog, then I'm going to be barking and howling at the moon.
Yeah, right? You're going to be trying to justify it.
Well, you're going to, because that's the way I am, they'll say. That's the way I am. No, that's no excuse. That's just the way I am.
That's
no. If you want to be that way, that's what you can be. But God says you're not that, doesn't he? He says you're honorable, you're righteous, you're all these great things. But we don't want to believe them. We want to believe what the church world preaches, that you're a no good, dirty, rotten sinner.
You need to be saved.
Yeah. Why? He died for that. I thought it was took care of.
It was just them back then.
It's ridiculous, isn't it? How ridiculous they get. But in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks, or the golden lampstands, whichever. But they're light holders. That's what we are. We're light holders. We possess the light of Christ, of God, because the Christ is within us, pure and simple. And then he goes on and tells these ones that are permitted to start in. Said, I know, see, or I see your works. The word know is really see here. I see your works and your labor. Okay? Ouch, my arm hurts. Says, I know, I see your works and your grief and pain. Yeah, that the labor should be grief and pain. And your patience, and how that you cannot bear or endure depravity, them which are evil. Literally says depravity. I cannot endure depravity. And you have tried, or you have scrutinized the ones that say, or the ones that say they are apostles and are not, and have found them to be what?
Deceit.
Or deceitful and wicked. Isn't that the church system? They'll do anything and say anything to get what they want to get. It doesn't make any difference about what's right or wrong. They make their own rules. That's why there's over 30,000 denominations in the world today, and they all say we're right and everybody else is wrong. I mean, the math just don't go right.
Can't, man.
No. Okay, in verse 3, and have borne or endured and have patience, and not for, but through my name's sake, or my nature, okay? Right? Through my character, my nature, my authority. Have labored and have not grown weary. Okay. Not for my name's sake, but for my nature, for my honor. And it's because of what his nature and character within you is what give you the power and authority to overcome and endure to the end. Can't do it on our own. It's not something we can do as individuals, as humans, just because we want to. No. I mean, I think the church world is full of people that are sincere as they can be, but they just don't have a call of God in their life, or they would be out of there. You know, I think they're truly sincere, and I think God recognizes that through here, what we're going to be touching on. He recognizes there's people that are sincere, but it's not their time yet.
They're not permitted, like Ephesus.
Or yeah, see,
not
permitted, it starts with permission, see, by God.
Because they're right where God wants.
They're okay. He'll cover them. He'll call them, in every man in his own order. Mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians 15.
Right.
Every man in his own order. Okay, nevertheless, verse 4, I have somewhat against you, because you have left your first love. Your first love should be him.
That's because you're in love with yourself.
That's right. There's two men in the earth. And we, being the bride, hooked up with the wrong man. Yeah. Adam.
You don't put Christ first.
Absolutely. Did he say he was a jealous God? He'd have none before him?
Yeah.
Okay, verse 5. Remember wherefore you had, from where you are fallen, and repent, or change the way you think. And do your first works. Okay? But if not, it says, or else, it should say, but if not, I will appear to you quickly, or by surprise, excuse me, and will remove your candlestick or your lampstand out of its place, unless you what? Repent. Change the way you think. If you don't change the way you think, he's going to remove your lampstand.
That sounds like a threat.
Let me read you something in 1 Samuel. I'll be there. there just a second. Close.
Oh, excuse me.
What's it say? 2 and 31. I said 20. I thought in my mind 21. It was 31.
Chapter 2, verse 31.
Yeah. 2:31 says, "Behold, the day is come that I will cut off your arm and the arm of your father's house, and there shall not be an old man in your house." What's it saying? What's your arm represent?
Strength.
Strength. "Behold, the day is come that I will cut off your arm," or your strength, "and the strength of your father's house," okay, "and there shall not be an old man," we're talking about mature man.
Wisdom.
"In the house, and thou shalt see an enemy in your habitation." Wonder who that might be. Adam.
Yourself.
Yeah, it's Adamic nature. "But this thou hast, that thou hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate." What is a Nicolaitan?
Teaching us to do whatever.
They taught Israel to eat things, sacrifice to idols, and to commit sexual immorality or to be unfaithful.
In other words, they were worshiping other gods.
Yes, but he taught them to be unfaithful in their practices. So, not a good thing. What do you think that word Nicolaitans actually means?
Destruction of the people.
Absolutely.
What is it?
Destruction of the people. So the teachings of the Nicolaitans destroy the people. What did say earlier in Scripture? "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge of God."
Yeah.
So they're being taught the wrong way. It's destroying them. It may be a social club and they all may love this lovey-dovey each other, you know. But you know what? It's still destroying them because it's not the teaching they should be having. And I have a favorite verse coming up near the end of this chapter that I really want you to sink your teeth into and understand about it. I think you understand it, but it was just another witness to something.
Okay.
In verse 7, he goes on and says, "The one that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches." Now, I don't like the word churches, plural. Because you know what? Each one of us is a church individually. And this is not a corporate writing, is it? It's individual to each one of you. Correct? It's to you as an individual.
Called out ones.
The called out ones. See, so that S on there, that plural word, shouldn't be churches. It's the same Greek word, ekklesia.
Mm-hmm.
But they make it plural or singular, and it's wrong that way.
Well, they try to put that there so that they make you think that there's more than one church.
Oh, yes, absolutely. That's part of the Nicolaitans' teaching. Do it any way you want to.
Yeah, that's contrary to the soma.
Sure it is. Sound whole body. Sure it is. Just do whatever. It don't make any difference.
Right. So it's this teaching, God's teaching Christ, Jesus was the head, and we were the body.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to say there's all kinds of...
Just whichever way you want to. Don't make any difference.
Anything. Yeah.
And you know, in a sense, there's a truth, there's a vein of truth in what they're saying.
Yeah.
Because it really doesn't matter, because God's going to get what he wants anyway. So, in a sense, there is a truth in that, isn't there?
Mm-hmm.
But it's not the whole picture.
Isn't that what's dangerous when there's like
a little bit of
part
truth?
Of the truth?
Yep.
That's when it's dangerous, because it's believable.
Because it sounds
confusing.
Good. It sounds good to them. Easy to believe that way.
And it's confusing.
Sure it is. And that's the whole intent behind it.
Unless someone gets in there and digs and knows some really questions.
Not many people do that.
Yeah. That's the good seed, right?
Yep. Okay, the rest of that verse is, "To him that overcomes," or literally subdues, okay? The only one that can overcome or subdue what's within you is who?
Myself.
It's yourself. You have to overcome you. The Christ has to overcome you, the Adam.
Right. The Christ in you has to
subdue it. That's the only one that can
Christ
do it.
Christ has already done it. You need to realize that.
Well, you have to let
done.
Him do what he does.
Mm. You've got to realize it.
Yeah. To him that subdues will I give to eat from, not of, but from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. What is the paradise of God?
Me.
It's the very spirit that you have within you. That's the paradise of God. And the tree of life is in the middle or the midst of that paradise of God, which is right in your center. It was right there all along. And just like the tree of knowledge of good and evil and the tree of life stood side by side in the paradise of God, the paradise of Eden. It's no different in us. We have our carnal mind and the mind of Christ standing right there side by side. But which one are we eating from? If we eat from that other tree, that's not good.
Well, if your carnal mind starts making a picture of what you just said,
mm-hmm.
it's already starting to make it go waylay it to another area.
Sure it is. And that's the thing we have to take control mm-hmm. over. We have to subdue those thought processes. Anybody who says they don't hear voices in their head every day is lying. You hear things talking to you every day, don't you? They tell you things every day. But you've got to take control of those thoughts. You have to know the voice of God and the voice of anything else. Didn't he say, my sheep hear my voice, and the voice of another they will not follow? We have to listen. And if once we know the name or the nature and character of God, whenever something is said, we can immediately judge that thing, whether it's of God or not, by the nature and character that was driving that statement that was in our head. You can hear something in your head and say, "Whoo, whoo, that ain't God." You can hear it instantly. You know what's right and wrong. You know what's right with God and what's wrong with God. You know it in your head. You don't have to have someone, you don't have to have a preacher telling you that. He said he gave, in Ephesians, he said 4:11, he said he gave gifts unto man. You know, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher. Those are gifts that's within everybody. But it's up to him to decide who's functioning in that. That's his. It's all up to him. It's not up to me to make me anything. I can't. I can just be who I am, function in what he gives me to function in. It's not about positions of authority, because the only authority there is his. You can't make authority for yourself. Okay, verse 8. And to the messenger of the church of Smyrna, these things saith the first, the last, which was dead and is alive. We know that was talking about Jesus the Christ. What's Smyrna mean? It means myrrh, anointing, purification, and perfume. Verse 9, he says, I know or I see your works and your tribulation or your pressures and your poverty. But you are rich. Okay, so I see all the stuff, what you're doing and your poverty, but you're rich. Why would he say that?
You're blessed because you have ears to hear.
Well, you've got more than what you even yourself account of what you possess. We have riches that's untold. But he's not talking about gold and silver and houses and cars and lands and all that stuff. He's talking about the wealth of God in you. Mm-hmm. And that's the greatest value there is in the face of the earth. He said, but you're rich, and I know the blasphemy or the slander from the ones that say they are Jews and are not, but are of the synagogue of Satan, the accuser. Well, you know, even we had the fellowship in the other place years ago, we had people that would come to the fellowship and been there for years, and they would go back into the kitchen or something like that, stand back there and slander and talk about everybody. mean, it's everywhere. I mean, you can't. That's a nature that's in humanity. That's one of them things these seven churches have to overcome.
Judgment.
You're judging somebody, misjudging somebody. Unrighteous judgment would be a real good word for it. Did he say in Matthew 7, 1 and 2, he said, judge not lest you be judged in like manner. First get the log out of your eye so you can get the splinter out of your neighbor's eye.
Whatever manner you judge with that, that's what you'll
that's the way you're going to get it. So, not good.
Yeah.
Not good that way. But you know, I've been seeing something. I need to inject this right now, I guess. Oh, it popped in. What right, or what? Where do we get the authority to look at things in a negative way? And let me clarify that statement. Just like we say, you know, you'll be judged in the like manner. Okay. The only judge there is who?
God.
God, the Christ, is doing it. Okay.
Yes.
And he already said, everything's cool, right? I paraphrased that a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But he said, everything's okay. We're all going to make it. Everybody with different positions in life, with different rewards, that's all.
Yeah.
But what right do I have to think? And what I'm saying is, in my mind, if I think, when I read through this book of Revelation, you'll see things about judgment all the time, true or false.
Mm-hmm.
But what kind of judgment is that?
Righteous judgment.
It's a righteous, but still, a righteous judgment is not punishment or tribulation or torment. We've got to take those things out of our vocabulary and our thinking process, because God's not into punishing nobody. The only punishment I get is when I do it to myself. It's self-inflicted, the things that I do. Okay? But I can't blame the Lamb, who is the judge, who's already judged everybody not guilty. What right do I have to judge him? And see, I can't even judge myself like that.
No.
I got to get that punishment and torment and suffering and all that stuff out of our mind. That's what the church has told us, to believe that a God is double-minded just like they are. And a double-minded man's unstable in all of his ways.
When we start making that separation of the us and them,
there's a trouble.
Yeah.
There's trouble. It doesn't make any difference where they're at, what they're doing. I have no issue with anybody. I can sit down with anybody. I don't care race, color, creed, whatever. As long as they respect me, I have no problem respecting them. You know.
But even still, when you sit down with them, you said as long as they respect you. If they're in that lower realm of humanity, okay, and they don't realize that they're supposed to respect all humanity.
Well, but see, that's still, I don't have to associate with ones that just absolutely refuse. When Jesus made his separation from the Jewish people, remember he said he cut off the Jews, didn't he? They were cut off that the Gentiles would be brought in.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
See, Paul wrote that. So when those things, when he made the decision that, you know, they're not going to hear me, I'll go to the Gentiles. There's a point that, you know, if they ain't going to hear you, let them go. If they want to go out there in the middle of the street and stand there all day on their head stacking BBs, let them go out there and do it. It has nothing to do with me. If they will not be respectful, and I mean even in a earthly human experience, if you can't be respectful to anybody, there's a problem, isn't there? I don't have to even like the person, but I have to be respectful to that person. I don't have a right to be disrespectful. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And anybody knows that. But if they choose not to, there's nothing you can do about it. Just walk away from them and let them do their thing.
Yeah, if they set their mind to not listening, just being obstinate.
Let them be.
There's not much you can do.
But he says they say they're Jews, but they are not. Now, when he says Jew, what's he saying? Is he talking about the ones from Israel?
No.
Spiritual Jews, the ones that are chosen by God, okay? I'd say he's talking first fruit right now. And they are not, but they are the synagogue of Satan. And why would he say they're the synagogue of Satan? See, Satan's also recognized by most of Christianity as being the devil. This evil creature that runs around and... See, they're saying he's got a synagogue of his own. Well, guess what? Right here it is.
All right, he's going to throw you into
right here it is.
In wilderness.
In the gospel, I think it's in Matthew, he says, 15th verse of what chapter? Anyway, he says, when you see the abomination of desolation sitting in the temple where it ought not be,
yeah,
what do you think that is?
In your mind.
Sure it is, and that's exactly what he's saying right here. That synagogue of Satan is the natural mind, not the spiritual mind, but the natural mind. And they're so close, it's like them two trees stand beside each other in that garden. And they were so close, most people thought, well, they're the same thing. What's the difference? And that's the confusion. But there is a difference. We've got to be able to see the difference. He said, fear nothing which you shall suffer. And it says, you shall suffer of a necessity. Suffer. It's necessary that you suffer.
A little bit of fire.
Yeah.
A little bit of purification.
But see, it says you shall suffer, but it should say of necessity you must suffer. That's not like, well, if you want to, you can. If you're going into the kingdom of God, you must suffer. That's what he's saying. Behold, the devil or the false accuser shall cast, okay, cast some of you into prison in order that you may be what?
Tested.
Tested, tried, okay. Disciplined is another good word. And you shall have tribulation or pressure for 10 days. What does 10 days represent?
Law.
Absolutely. You're going to be under pressure as long as you live under the law. Galatians said, as long as you're under the law, what are you? If you live under the law, you're cursed. There you go. So if you're cursed, guess what kind of tribulation you're going to be having?
Yeah, you're under a lot of pressure.
Lots of pressure, brother. Lots of pressure. Okay? Be thou faithful unto death, until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Not a crown, but the crown of life. It's the Greek word ho, which means the definite article. Okay, there's only one crown of life. And then it makes this statement here that you need to think about. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. Again, that S shouldn't be there, you know, at the end. He that overcomes shall not be hurt from the second death. He that overcomes will not be hurt from the second death. And when you overcome, the actual fact of this body dying, what does that have on you?
Nothing.
It has nothing to you. It means nothing. And just once you understand, you cannot die. Only this flesh can die off of you. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing about the natural death that has anything to hold on you once you realize you're not of this world. You're just in it.
Also, separation of the spirit and the soul.
Mm-hmm.
Then your thought processes.
You're going right back to the pure spirit.
That purification process from this heated up pressures that you're going through,
mm-hmm.
and it's separating it, purifying you, and that's not going to hurt you. Well, then, you know.
Let me read something to you. Chapter 20, verse 6.
Chapter 20, verse 6.
The Revelation. Blessed and holy is he that has part in the first resurrection. Of such the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign in the midst of him 1,000 years. Does that sound like what we're talking about there? The second death has no hurt on you.
So, the second death.
Okay. He's telling you what it is. Blessed and holy is he that has part of the first resurrection. The first resurrection is coming to the knowledge now.
There you are.
The true life is back in me again. It's not just this physical life.
Uh-huh.
Okay. Once you come to the first resurrection, on such or upon these persons, it should say, the second death has no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign in the midst of him for 1,000 years.
Isn't that where they get where you'll never die?
Absolutely.
You have eternal life.
Yes. Mm-hmm. That's truly eternal.
Mm-hmm.
But see, that's not the eternal that King James is always talking about.
No. I'm talking about knowing that
that
we're just stepping over.
Life, the fullness of
the full life. Yeah. And there's another one too. What is that? That's where's my other verse I had there? Oh, Revelation 21:8. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and adulterers and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.
Purification.
They'll get purified in the lake of fire, divine purification, correction. But we're being purified now. That's the difference. It's now versus later. And most people will be getting it later, but that's their choice.
Well, don't you think whenever someone heard what you just said, that they would automatically go to that hell thing?
Yes. Yes, and that's not true.
Right.
They see the lake of fire as hell, which it's not. It has nothing to do with it. It's a lake of divine purification and correction. They don't understand fire is purification. Brimstone is the word theon, which is sulfur, which means it goes in every Old Testament sacrifice for purification. So it's identified with purification. So they won't see that because they never read anything. They never studied anything. So
who's stacking along? What is that word? You fall on the rock, you're
if you
broken.
Fall on the rock and be broken, or let the rock fall on you and be crushed.
Yeah. So do it now. You're kind of broken and let if you wait till later.
Yeah.
If it's later, it's crushing the power, right?
Like the Fram commercial, you can pay me now, or you can pay me later.
But later's a lot worse.
Later costs more.
A lot harder.
Yeah. Okay. But I put the word Selah there about this. Every time he says, they that have ears to hear, let them hear what the Spirit's saying to the churches. And he tells you some little piece. Every one of them, he's giving you another little piece of something to think about. That was said about the second death, which is the people that don't come to the life right now. They're going to come to the life later on. And I just read that, and I know you didn't hear me, but I'll read it again.
Twenty-one, 21:8.
Yeah. It says, but the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable, the murderers, the whoremongers, the sorcerers, the idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. The ones that go into the lake of purification, divine purification, correction at the end are all the ones who haven't been purified now. That's all. But see, that's where the church, like Lois said, the church teaches that's hell. No, it's not. There is no hell. If there's anything called hell, I can show you in Isaiah 5 where God called the church hell. What man's church that they made. Okay. Where'd I leave off there? 12, it should be, shouldn't it? And to the messenger of the church of Pergamos, write, these things say he which has the sharp sword with two edges. Okay? What do you think that's all about?
It's a word of separation.
Well, what's the word Pergamos represent? It means fortification, it means pride. Height, and it means elevation.
The pride?
Sure it is. You know how many prideful churches there are out here? Do you go to the church? We go to this church. We go to that church. You know, how come you're not the church? You know, they don't know because they've been taught the wrong things. And if you go to our church, because we got a bigger church, we got a bigger cross out front, we got a bigger whatever. You know, we got more people going there. That makes
that's
it right.
That illusion created by man that you have to go to that building.
They think that it's a democratic way of thinking, and Americans have the democratic way of thinking. That's the way this country was set up. So it's the business way of running this country has went into the religious system completely, and now it's democratic. The majority rules, you know, and so they believe there's a hell, so there has to be one because we can't be wrong. The majorities are always right. That's not scriptural, though.
Being prideful and arrogant, wouldn't that be like being asleep? And then, like when Jesus went to pray, and then they came back and they were still sleeping. Why are you asleep?
Yeah. Well, sure. It's the same thing. Just another layer of it, yes. Yep. Because they don't know. Their Christ is asleep, but their natural man's still there.
They're listening to the wrong voice.
Wrong voice, absolutely.
Okay.
And we know the two-edged sword is what?
The word
of God, sharper than a two-edged sword. Hebrews 4:12. Said, I know thy works and where you dwell, even where Satan's seat is, the accuser's throne or place of rule. Where's the accuser's place of rule?
In my head.
Right between your ears. See, the natural thinking process. And you hold or retain my name and has not denied my faith, even in the days wherein in which Antipas, one, it says, and one is like the father, was my faithful martyr who was slain among you or near you where Satan dwells. Okay? Now, what's that really trying to tell us? You have my name, you have my nature, you have my character, you're trying to hold on to my faith, and yet someone was slain and you stood there and watched it. Never said anything. Never assisted anything. What I have, my notation here is it's two trees. You're still functioning out of two trees. Good and evil and the tree of God, tree of life. You still have both trees in here. And that's what all this is about. This whole chapter is about, and then the next chapter going into, is about realizing that this other tree has to be cut down. There's a passage that Jesus made about an olive tree, in which we are that olive tree. And he says, if it doesn't produce after the first year or the next year, said the axe, the King James says the axe is laid to the root of the tree. It doesn't say that. It's laid near the root of the tree. You've got to make a decision to cut off that natural stuff. If it's not going to produce, then cut it off or go on. You know, cut the tree down. If it's not going to be fruitful, cut it down. That tree in my mind of the natural is never going to produce anything worthwhile in my life, is it?
Nope. Maybe it's knowing that it'll continuously sprout again.
You cut it down, another sprout will be up before that thing hits the ground. You know, it's just the way it is. It's going to work. Like Jesus was in the temptation for 40 days and 40 nights. But said, as soon as he went back after he was refreshed, said Satan departed him for a season. So as soon as he was refreshed, got his breath back, he was brought back being tormented by that same thing between our ears that we get tormented with every day. And that's the truth. Verse 14. But I have a few things against you because you have there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam. That's the false teacher. Who taught Balak, the Moabite, represents the flesh, to cast a stumbling block, okay, or a snare before or in the presence, or in the face, rather, is what it says, in the mind of the children or the sons of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols and to commit fornication or to be unfaithful. So he's saying, you got these false teachers that's teaching them to be unfaithful and to be worshipers of false idols. And it's no different today. I mean, you know, everybody picks like on the Catholic Church, but every other church out here came from the Catholic Church.
Yep.
What's the difference? I mean, they're all out there, they got the same
still
mama.
All came from the mind of man.
That's right. They're all coming out of the same thing, and yet they want to blame one, but they all have idols. I mean, they say, well, everybody says, well, the Catholic Church has, yeah, they got idols, but so does every other church. Go in and look at them. Go in and look at these church organizations. They all got their, well, the Methodist Church or the Pentecostals, they all got something in there that they worship, and if you touch it, they'd want to cut you in two or kill you over it. Right?
It's still all about the stumbling block.
It all is a stumbling block to them. And thank God we can see beyond that. It says, so hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. In the same way, okay? And we remember the Nicolaitans was what? Destruction of the people.
Destruction of the people.
And God hates it too. I've said for years, I care enough about people that I'll tell them the truth, even if it means I lose fellowship with them. but I'll tell them the truth. Because I hate all the lies that are being fed. It's just not the truth. It shouldn't be there.
Well, the church, I think, misleads people to think that's going to be of the masses. And
yeah.
It's only one at a time.
It's each individual.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Verse 16, he goes on and says, repent, you know, change the way we think, or else, if not, should say, I will come to you quickly and will fight against them with what? The sword of my mouth. What's he saying?
His words.
His words. My words will take care of you. The power is in the word of God. If he says it, it's a done deal. Okay, verse 17. Here we go again. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. It's what it should say, to the churches. He's saying the same thing to all the other churches, but you know, the other individuals. To him that overcomes will I give to eat of the hidden manna. What's the hidden manna?
The word.
It's the word of God. The revelation of that word of God.
The one that he placed in you from before.
Before the foundation of the world. He wrote it in your heart. And will give him a white stone. Wonder what that is. That white stone. It said in the Old Testament, Paul wrote it in the New Testament, that stone that followed him in the wilderness was Christ. It was Christ. White stone. How about white and righteous? Does that kind of pair up together?
Yeah, righteous, pure.
Righteous stone. And in that stone, in that Christ, a new name or a new nature written, which no man knows except the one that receives. Now, how many times in my life, I said, can't you see how much he's changed me? People can't see nothing.
Yeah.
They can't see.
It's not for them.
They see what they want to see.
But they still see the old Dave that was there 40, 50, 60 years ago. It's not the same one. They don't understand that. They say, yeah, you're the same. No, well, you can say what you want. I know differently, and I won't agree to it. It's the same with each one of us. We have to be able to take our stand and say, that's not who I am. That's who...
He wiped that slate clean, white stone he gave you. He completely took that all away and wrote your new name, your new nature, your new character.
Yeah.
And it's not...
It's like the old Etch-a-Sketch. He picked it up and shook you,
mm-hmm.
and now there isn't anything on the slate that's clean.
We were before that, and that little thing, the little slate where you raised up and wiped it off, a little
wipe
wax
it off.
Paper.
This thing I've got written in here.
I remember those.
Yeah. Just lift it up, it's gone. Little pencil, little sharpened stick you write with.
Yeah.
This little thing I kept, it means something to me. It says, no one can teach me, and it should be for you too, no one can teach you who you are. Someone may describe a part of you, but who you are is something you have to remember for yourself. It's absolutely you. It puts it back on you. You've got to do something to relay it to yourself. People just don't understand that, and it's okay they don't understand. So that's
they're lazy, they don't want to do the work.
In this white stone, if you look up the language in it, it comes with something else.
Okay.
It comes with a verdict of acquittal.
Huh.
Ooh, that's in the language.
Father, forgive them for that.
No, not what they do. It's exactly who it is, brother. There.
So you better make sure you got white stones instead of a black
stone. Yeah, but my skin stands up when I talk about it. It just chills. The verdict of acquittal comes with this white stone. Okay? And also comes with a ticket of admission. That's what the language says. How you get into the kingdom? I got my ticket.
Got
my
stone.
Got my stone. I got my ticket.
I got the
rock. Don't throw your stone.
Yeah. If we go, you're going to be stoned. Stone me with a white one. But it's amazing, those little things that's hidden in the language. And I've looked at this so many times to make your eyes go crossed. And then you can see something that changes, just opens it up that much more. It's worth it all. Okay. Verse 18, unto the messenger of the church of Thyatira. Thyatira means what?
Odor
of affliction. That means you've already been doing some suffering, and people recognize that you have been doing some suffering. In the natural, it might mean you've got some scars. some battle wounds.
In the flesh.
In the flesh, yep.
Yeah.
These things says the Son of God, that makes it pretty clear who's talking, doesn't it? Who has his eyes, okay, his eyes likened to the flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. Okay. But in this odor of affliction, there's something else. There's another word that goes with that. And I noted it off to the side, that's why I just now noticed it and come back to it. That the people from Thyatira had an art, had a skill that they learned, that most of the known world at that time couldn't do. They had learned how to dye things purple.
Royalty.
There you go. They learned how to get into the royalty. All kinds of little things in there. But it goes on and says what? His eyes were like a flame of fire and his feet were like fine brass. The eyes were like a...
Is that a meow?
Yeah. Come on in. Yeah, she actually made a noise.
That's funny.
That's a loud one. But the eyes were like a flame of fire and his feet were like fine brass. Fine brass burned in the fire. Okay? That's what it's speaking of, purified in fire. And those eyes, could you think of somebody that saw those eyes really at a close range that really had an effect in his life?
John?
Mm-mm. Peter, when he denied him.
Oh, yeah.
And he looked right in it, looked right at him.
The cock crowed three times, and then the cock crowed. Oh.
He remembered looking into his eyes. That just. That would be a tough one, wouldn't it?
Mm. Yeah, like I told you.
Yeah.
He has an ear.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Scorched.
Yeah. But it wasn't him doing it. You were doing it to yourself.
Right.
Absolutely.
It's a self-judgment.
And he called him out on his true character. And
that's what he did.
Where he was at.
Yep. Verse 19, he says, I know your works and your charity or love and service and faith and your patience and your works and the last to be more than the first. What's he saying? Your last be more than the first.
The works.
Your works are more important to you than your love, which is the first. Right? See, there's the problem. People, and that's what the church world is today. They've got so wound up in doing things. I'm the bus driver. I'm I pick up the ties. I sweep the floor. I take out the trash. You know,
I work at the fair booth.
I work at the fair booth. All these things that they get caught up in, they think are doing something that God's impressed with, which has nothing to do with nothing. Just stuff. But their first love, they've forgotten, and that's Him. Notwithstanding, or but, I have a few things against you because you suffered or permitted the woman Jezebel, okay, which called herself a prophetess, okay, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. Now, let's break this down a little bit. It said, You permitted the woman Jezebel. What does Jezebel, what was her problem? What was her fault?
Ruled over the man.
She ruled over the man, the soul ruling over the Christ.
Right.
Okay? And it was backwards. Instead of the man ruling, the Christ ruling over the soul, it was the soul ruling over the spirit. Which called herself a prophetess, and she taught and spoke from the soulish realm rather than the spiritual realm. And that's what the church is doing today.
But she called herself a prophet.
She did. Self-appointed. Mm-hmm. And if you look at it, the book says that the church is the female gender, right? Mm-hmm. Well, they're doing the same thing. The man's church is speaking from the natural realm of the soul instead of speaking from the spiritual realm because they don't know what the spirit is. They only know what someone told them. They're parroting what somebody else said. They don't know for themselves. They've never sat down and spent time with God without the doctrines of all this other stuff he's talking about in here in their head. You've got to get your mind clear someplace to be able to hear what God's saying. You've got to put aside everything that the world has to offer. And there was a song that they used to sing back when we was in church years ago. They said, everything grows dim in the light of you, it says. But I changed it. Everything grows dim in the light of him. Yeah. And all the things at one time that were important to me are not that important anymore. They're just things. Yeah, they're just stuff. But it's about him and what he wants out of my life and me accomplishing that, you know, before my time to move on. That's the only thing that's left.
Priorities have changed.
Priorities change. And that's a good thing.
Yes.
So when it says she taught them to teach, and she taught them to seduce my servants, to commit fornication, to eat things sacrificed to idols, what again is she saying?
To be unfaithful.
To be unfaithful and to accept idolatry. It's okay. You can do it that way if you want to. And said, I gave her space to repent of her fornication, her unfaithfulness. I gave her time, but she didn't do it, and she repented not. She just didn't choose to do it again.
She's a hard head.
There you go. The natural man don't give up easy. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her, the other ones who are unfaithful, that's the whole system, into great tribulation. Okay? That means there's going to be some real bad stuff, don't it? Except or unless they repent of their deeds or their acts. So if they're not going to change their ways, guess what they got coming? It's going to be in this lifetime. There's no place, and I'd love for the world to hear what I'm going to say right now. There's no place in the scriptures anywhere that says after we die, God will punish us. It's in this lifetime. That's what this journey is about. We started in God. We're going back to God. And we don't go back to God to get punished because he's not a punishing God. That's their misconception of who God is. God is love. And what part of love? If I thought for one moment that I was worshiping someone that would do what the church says God's doing, I'd be out of it in a minute. I'd be gone. There'd be no way I'd be near it. Because that's just totally insane. It's the exact opposite of the nature of God. The only thing I've felt from God is love. Although I've had a lot of pressures in my life, but it was self-inflicted. I understand that now. Yeah. I can't blame God for the things that's happened to me in my life. I did them. I have to accept that. I can't blame anybody else. I did stupid things, and you reap what you sow, don't you?
Yeah.
It's in this lifetime. And God, if the world could hear that, there's no punishment after death. And you know, there's people that do hear it, but they hear it as, oh, well, good, and I can go out and raise hell and do whatever I want. Well, if that's what you want to do, just go right ahead. But you will reap what you sow.
And not what Jezebel did.
That's what she did.
That's what she did.
Yeah. And she reaped it too. I think they threw her off a wall and the dogs licked her blood. Where she busted up on the street down below. Okay, so she reaped it. Behold, I will cast her. Oh, you did that one, did I? Okay, verse 23. And I will kill her children with death. Now, do you really think he's going to kill babies?
No, the scene through.
Thoughts. Yeah. The same thought process that Jezebel had is in all humanity.
Thoughts,
okay,
as they begin.
Huh?
Thoughts is when they first start.
When they start, they're young, they're children. And he said, I will kill them with death. What is death? To be carnally minded. So I'm going to let her children be carnally minded too.
Hey.
What do you think you're doing, Missy? I said, I want attention. What are you doing up here?
Kill them with death, the carnal mind.
So you kill them with,
With their own.
With their own carnality. Thing. Just let them die in their own carnality.
Their own stinking thing.
Yeah.
They'll reap what they're.
And all the churches shall know that I am what? The one that searches the what?
Your reins.
The reins, that's the innermost mind, okay? It's the innermost mind, what that word reins really goes to, and hearts. And the heart is the innermost being, too.
You know, I was clicking on this on Strong's, and the Thayer says nephros, mm-hmm. which just means kidneys.
Yeah.
It's a cleansing.
Cleansing device.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Which one is that for?
The reins.
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 Yeah.
Oh, kidney.
You see, the kidney is a cleansing machine.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he's the one that searches it and finds out what's going on. I will give to every one of you according to your works. But to you I say, and to the rest, or the remaining ones of Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, okay, the depths of the accuser, as they speak, I will put upon you no other burden than what you already have. If you've got that far, you're not going back. I thought that's about the fourth one right there, the fourth realm. Said, you know, I'll not put anything else on you. You've got enough to deal with. But, verse 25, that which you have already, hold fast until I arrive. The word isn't come, it's arrive.
And then the question would be, what do I have?
If you don't know.
You have ears to hear.
Yeah, if you have ears to hear, you'll know. And if you don't, then don't worry about it, because it ain't for you. If I had a nickel for every time that someone asked me, am I third day? Am I tabernacles? Am I this?
Am I
that?
Fruit?
Hell, if you don't know, how would you expect me to know?
But you're in charge.
Oh, that means what? Ooh. Hey, get down. Get down. Get down, Mom. I'm going to get you. Here, come on. Come on.
That's just shy, Lloyd.
It'd be like a black man come up to say, am I black? Huh?
You are what you think.
Yeah. Or that girl that was faking out to being the black woman. She was white and she was faking out being, she was the head of the NAACP out west somewhere. You know, she thought she was black. She wanted to be black so bad that she convinced herself she was black.
Obviously, she did a good job of carrying her over the NAACP.
She deceived a lot of people, including herself. It's crazy. But whatever you have, he says, hold on to it till I arrive. And then he comes back and says, the one that overcomes and keeps my works until the end, him will I give power over the nations. The nation. Singular.
Your mind.
I'll give you power of your own mind. From here on out, now you've got some power to take control of everything. Up to this point, he's been doing most of it. Now he's going to let you do it. Are you a true son of God? Then let me see you act like one.
That reminds me.
Power of your own mind, your own imagination.
It makes me think about when everything is finished.
It is.
I mean, he finished.
He finished it all done.
Right. Now he's left it up to you.
It's your turn.
Mm-hmm.
If you're, what do son of gods do? What did Jesus do? He was the pattern, correct? So if he did these things that needed to be done, he talked to the Father and did what had to be done, then how about let's talk with the Father and find out what he wants us to do? I can't tell you what to do, can I? I can't tell anybody what to do. I can only tell you my experience, how it worked in my life. Now, hopefully it's somewhere near what you're going to experience, and it might help you get through it. But I can't make you walk a rope like me.
You can counsel.
That's it.
Encourage.
You can counsel and encourage, you know.
Was it water and plant seed?
That's all you do. Well, I can plant the seed, but some water and some sow and some water, but God gives the increase.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to Him. You can't force the issue. Okay, verse 27. And He shall rule them with a rod of iron. Oh, this is good. What's he really saying?
Strength.
Huh?
Strength.
There's strength there, but most of the church says, he's going to break them down, he's going to beat them up and throw them in hell. That's not what he's talking about here.
That's because I'm not good enough.
That's right. But look, this is what he's really saying. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And a rod of iron is inflexible. Right?
Uh-huh.
Stiff. You can't change it. According to the pattern, there's no flexibility. Whatever the Father says is what it's going to be. Ain't going to be cutting no deals, side deals, for somebody else to go some other course. Right? Mm-hmm. You say what God said and mean what God said, and that's the end of the story right there. That's where the no flexibility comes in with the rod of iron. They think it's like a big sword, like you're chopping everybody up and beating them down. That's not what he's talking about. That's not the nature of God. But it is the nature of God to stick to what he says, isn't it?
No compromise.
But God is right.
Period.
That's it. Just God is right.
But see, he's never going to give in to somebody because they throw a temper tantrum on him. He could care less.
Yeah, or they act offended.
Yeah, he don't care. As the vessels of a potter, okay, shall they be broken into shivers. Okay, the clay is the flesh, right? So he's only talking about breaking the flesh down. Now, and whenever the flesh is held to a rigid stringent of truth, guess what it's going to do to it? It's going to shatter it. It's going to shatter it. Just like you dropped it on a concrete floor or something, you know, boom, it's gone. The flesh is going to break. And look, this next little piece of line. Read it. Read it out and what it says.
And I'll give you the morning star.
No. You didn't finish 27.
Even as I received of my Father.
There you go. From my Father.
Yeah, from.
Should be from my Father. Okay. Even as I... And here is Jesus saying, look, you got to go through this. He said, I received it as my Father. You got to go through it because I had to go through it.
There's the encouragement.
Sure it is. He's saying, hey, look, I had to go through it. You got to go through it. That's all there is to it. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. He just said, it's a rod of iron. There's no flexibility. The same pattern. Whatever he says, that's what it's going to be. And that's what humans don't like. They don't like to be in a box. They like to express themselves in some other way. Well, that's not going to work in the kingdom of God. Because flesh and blood will not inherit the kingdom of God, will it? Okay. Ain't going to make it. And then he says in verse 28, when you realize this, that there's no compromise, I will give him the morning star. What is the morning star?
Christ.
He's the bright and shining star all the way from way back in the Old Testament. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. See, there's only one church.
Yeah.
It's what he's saying to you as an individual. This book can't be corporate and all that, you know, just blowing out to the whole world. It's not. And that's why they can't understand it. People have such a struggle trying to understand this stuff because they're trying to make it fit everybody. One size fits all.
I think that's where, you know, you see so many people that is so weak. So weak.
Well, because they've never had to withstand any of this, what he said right there, as I received from my Father. You got to do the same thing.
But what I'm saying is that they don't realize how special
it is to walk in that.
How they are so special, they're still focused on that fleshly weakness.
Yeah.
Constantly.
Well, but that's all they're being taught. I mean, see, it's not the...
I think there's one thing that I see in this, and I've heard a lot of people, is that they like that... focus of being weak because they get attention.
Sure.
When they're weak.
You can either be a bully or you can be helpless. Either way, you get attention. Just be the person you're supposed to be. And don't worry about what someone else thinks about you because it really doesn't make any difference, does it?
They don't have to understand what you're going through because they won't.
They can't. And when we understand they can't, that means it's impossible for them to understand what we're saying. It's okay. It's okay that they don't understand. If God wants them to understand, they'll understand it as well as we do, just as soon as he speaks it to them.
When you speak a strong, like you said, using that rod of iron.
Unflexibility.
Use that rod of iron. They don't like that. The weak ones.
They don't.
That rod of iron.
And the prideful and arrogant don't like it either. Because it's destroying their kingdom.
You know the little prod they have when they touch the pigs to make them keep moving? You know, the pigs feel it. They keep walking. But humanity don't want that prod to make them keep walking.
They use it for cattle too.
Mm-hmm. You know, that little thing to keep them walking. Mm-hmm. They need to use it.
Yep.
They need to feel that.
It's just, it's the forerunner of the taser that the cops use.
Wow.
It is.
I don't